You're listening to Insight Live on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. NPR is reporting, as you might have heard, that the full redacted version of the Mueller Russia investigation report is expected to be released Thursday. When it is, we will likely be shifting to NPR special coverage. Let's check in today, though, with the political junkie Ken Rudin. We'll explore how the details of that report might ripple across the country to California. Ken, welcome back to Insight.
Thank you, Beth.
So, about the report and the impact on California and states in between, I know there's a lot of speculation, including that something embarrassing might be said about the president. But what's your perspective on the release of the report?
Well, first of all, I mean, we've had a history of things being embarrassing that are being released about the president, and that doesn't seem to affect the body politic at all, let alone his polling ratings. So for all the things we've learned about Donald Trump, the things he said, the self-inflicted wounds, not to mention this 400-page report that's being released on Thursday, what does embarrassing mean anymore? What does it mean to him? What does it mean to his followers? That's another thing completely. But the fact is that since Attorney General William Barr released his four-page report back in late March, right, about the Mueller report, which basically said that he was completely absolved of any kind of collusion. There was no proof of obstruction of justice. That gave the president and his supporters the green light to say, well, he's been totally exonerated, totally freed of any kind of legal jeopardy. And I think that's what most of the American people feel at this point.
So just quickly, some of the moves this might set up for key Democrats who happen to also be Californians, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Adam Schiff, and the House Intelligence Committee. What could come next?
Well, that's another question completely, because just because the report is out and Donald Trump says, I've already been exonerated, that doesn't mean that the investigation stopped. And you're absolutely right. California plays this huge role, not only with Nancy Pelosi as Speaker of the House, but Adam Schiff, who's the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee. Those investigations continue. There's subpoenas that will be released. There will be investigations. There will be summoning of people to testify, including William Barr. And that's not over. Not to forget either the Southern District in New York that has its own investigations on the Trump and his family and his businesses. So for all the talk about the president and his supporters, led by Kevin McCarthy, led by Devin Nunes, who say that the president has been exonerated. The president will still talk about treason named at the Democrats. But there's no question that the investigations do not end with the release of the Mueller report, or at least the non-redacted parts of the Mueller report on Thursday.
Speaking of Californians, Ken, I want to talk about Stephen Miller. It's a name we haven't said before in our conversations. He is originally from Santa Monica, Southern California. He's now a top Trump policy advisor and one of those power players behind the scenes that should be talked about.
Well, he is very influential. I guess California can take him as a favorite son, but the fact is that he is probably more Trump. He's probably more of a true believer than Donald Trump is. I think he knows the intricacies and the designs and the purposes of immigration policy and how it plays in the body politic far more than Trump does. Trump seems to be more of a knee-jerk, reactive kind of politician, less of an ideologue. Stephen Miller is definitely an ideologue. So when people talk about, all the changes in the let's get rid of Kirstjen Nielsen in Homeland Security. Let's not nominate this guy Ron Vitello as the head of ICE because they're soft on immigration. That is led by Stephen Miller, who is behind the scenes, probably one of the most important and powerful members of the administration, especially on domestic policy.
You're listening to Ken Rudin, the political junkie. I want to shift gears here a little bit to the presidential race because Representative Eric Swalwell has jumped in. So this is one more Californian that we're going to be tracking on the way to the new presidency in 2020. What about Eric Swalwell? How much was he on your radar?
Well, he was always on the list of people who were going, like, it's just like John Hickenlooper, the former governor of Colorado, or, you know, somebody like that. Eric Swalwell, yep, he's thinking of running for president. There was a great article in the New York Times the other day. Here are the things, here's the argument against Swalwell running. He's 38 years old. Nobody ever heard of him. He's accomplished very little in his time in Congress when he was first elected in 2012. Here's the argument for him running. Well, why not? And that's what it really said, because basically, what does anybody have to lose? Because right now you have 18 Democrats, and perhaps a former vice president may join the group later this month, but you have 18 or 19 Democrats running. Obviously, only one will be the nominee, but unless you do something very embarrassing or you don't acquit yourself well, like think of Jeb Bush in 2016, these Democrats can... You know, they'll be on their MSNBCs and CNN and sometimes on Fox News, and they'll have things to say and people will care what they have to say. But Swalwell is basically a rising star. He's, again, 38 years old. The only person, Pete Buttigieg, the mayor of South Bend, Indiana, is 37. And given the fact that the youngest person ever elected was John F. Kennedy at 43, these would be new records. But look, you know, it's... At first, I'm saying, what is going on here? This is kind of crazy. I mean, how do you have a three-term congressman or a mayor of 100,000 people think you could lead the free world? But all, you know, whenever I think things like that, I'm reminded of the guy who was elected in 2016, who basically was a TV star, you know, and a successful, I think a successful businessman. So there are no more... You know, in other words, you don't have to be Joe Biden and be in the Senate for 400 years before you're elected president. There are different paths to the White House, and everybody's trying it, and we'll see what sticks.
And sometimes the White House in the campaign isn't actually the goal, because you and we others think, oh, is this an attempt to get a bigger job, a TV commentator's job, a book tour, name recognition for future runs? There are so many different agendas now.
And that's true. And there are some people, and I would say that President Trump is among those, who enjoys much more campaigning than governing. I mean, he loves the rallies, he loves the attention, he loves the tweeting, but as far as the intricacies of policy, nobody will ever accuse Donald Trump of being that kind of president.
You mentioned rallies, you mentioned Pete Buttigieg, and with that, I have to bring up West Sacramento Mayor Christopher Cabaldon, who at a rally over the weekend helped introduce Pete Buttigieg, and it must have been rainy outside. I saw the video, and the West Sacramento mayor's jacket was all splattered. We have a small clip of it, so let's take a listen.
This is a historic moment that reveals how far a nation has to go, to be sure. But also that America never runs out of surprises.
Amen to that, right?
Well, you know something, I know this is April of 2019, and we can be fascinated before we get concerned or nervous. And right now I'm still fascinated and still smiling. The frown will probably come next year. But here's the thing. We are so excited about Pete Buttigieg. You know, he's 37 years old, the first openly gay candidate ever, Rhodes Scholar, veteran of the Afghanistan War. I mean, he has all these things, and everybody's going crazy about him. He's raising a ton of money. He apparently has supplanted the previous flavor of the month, which was Beto O'Rourke, who's also raised millions and millions of dollars. And, you know, all he did, not all he did, but he ran for the Senate in Texas and lost to Ted Cruz, and that's his claim to fame. And then you have these women, you have six women running for president, you know, Elizabeth Warren with detailed policy positions and Kamala Harris with an impressive record and others, Kirsten Gillibrand, Tulsi Gabbard, Amy Klobuchar, and nobody's talking about them anymore. So I don't know if it's something about women that we don't like to talk about, or we don't have the capacity to think about more than one candidate at a time. But it's startling to me, and this is not a criticism of Buttigieg, but it's startling to me that we're so overcome with excitement about this guy that nobody ever heard of a month ago. And yet you have these other women who have been running for a while, and you know, you have to be hard-pressed to find a newspaper headline about these candidates lately. But things will change. I know that.
Well, West Sacramento's mayor has been a very popular and accomplished mayor. I think it wasn't a surprise to see him somewhere on a national scene. And I think we may be talking about him again in the future. In the meantime, that's it for us today. Ken, thanks so much for joining us on Insight.
Thanks, Beth.
That is Ken Rudin, the political junkie. And by the way, you can listen to Insight anytime by subscribing to our podcast at capradio.org or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And tell a friend about us. Share a little bit of insight with them. That's Insight for today. I'm your host and writer, Beth Ruyak. I'm on Twitter at CapRadioRuyak. Our senior producer is Helen Barrington. Our producers are Cody Drabble, Bert Johnson, and Kate Gonzalez. Our technical director is Mark Jones. Our engineer today was Antonio Munoz. Insight's executive producer is Joe Barr. Thanks for joining us. We are back with another live show tomorrow.